If you've had a job interview recently, chances are you've had to take a psychometric test. Or if you've applied to be in the Defence Forces or to become Garda Commissioner or perhaps just to get a place in some colleges. Or even if you've taken a penalty for the England soccer team. Personality assessments are very much in fashion across business and sport, but do they work? With me now in studio to discuss this are Louise Campbell, Managing Director of Robert Walters Recruitment Ireland, and Dr. Ed Collin, Sports Science Lecturer in Cork Institute of Technology, who specialises in practice transfer in elite sport. Louise, tell me first of all, what are psychometric tests?
Well, psychometric tests are by no means a new concept. Testing is simply used to measure the potential behaviours of an individual, their strengths, their weaknesses and their working style. So there's two main types. One is personality and the other is aptitude. So the personality one looks at your interests, your values, your motivations, and then the aptitude is whether or not you can actually do the role. Have you got the technical skills to do it?
So give me an idea of the typical kind of question you might be asked in a psychometric test, a personality test.
Well, in a personality test, probably the most popular test or the widely used one would be the Myers-Briggs test, which really examines, I suppose, how you react within the workplace and where your developmental areas are. Typical example of questions would be whether you rate yourself on strongly agree, neutral, disagree. Do parties and social gatherings energise you?
Okay.
That would tell you whether you were kind of more of an extrovert.
It is better to be polite and rule obedient rather than carefree would be another one.
Correct. Or, you know, you are always making plans for the future, or do you like to plan in advance, or do you go with the flow?
Do things on the hoof.
That's it, exactly.
And what about then? So that's the personality test. And then there's a cognitive dimension to this. You might be asked maybe a numerical test or something
absolutely.
Like that.
Absolutely. Well, there'd be numerical tests as well, depending on the job that you're going for. There would be things like, you know, Janet bought a packet of Smarties for €2. Somebody else bought them for €2.40. What percentage more did that person pay?
And you would get maybe four options.
Multiple choice. Yes, absolutely. So you need to think quickly and you need to think on your feet.
How widespread are these tests now?
They're very widespread at the moment. I mean, if you look at it, 80% of the Fortune 500 firms use them. 75% of the UK Times 100 companies use them. They're used in varying capacities as well. Some of them are used for mass volume graduate recruitment plans. And then some of them are used to develop existing employees as well.
Yeah. Ed Collin, tell me about how psychometric tests are used in sport nowadays as well.
Yeah, a little like what Louise is saying, they are becoming more widespread, unfortunately, because I think what is happening is that people are trying to fast track a decision about a person's suitability for a position within a team or a dynamic within a squad. And I think, unfortunately, it is choosing... It's choosing a route where you'll spend less time actually getting to know the person on a one-to-one basis and more time looking at their file and their profile, per se.
Yeah, and I suppose another question is, and this is an obvious one, can they be gamed?
Absolutely. I think the term we hear a lot of times these days is the hack. How can you hack these type of tests? And I think once a test becomes publicly known, you're going to have people who are going to try to get better at the test before they have to sit the test. So I think that's a concern wherever there are tests.
Yeah, I mean, I think that criticism was made, for instance, with the HPAT, which was introduced a few years ago as an added way of assessing people's suitability to study medicine at third level, for instance. Yeah. And then you get the whole idea of how to get by. So, I mean, is that self-defeating then in the end?
I think so. I think sometimes, you know, these tests can become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy as well. If you are told, you know, that the results of your psych test is that maybe you are not good under pressure or that your decision-making ability is not great. Unless an organisation in the corporate world is willing to put a lot of time and effort into developing you and working on those skills, that can be a really dangerous thing to tell somebody, because that's going to mean that they're going to fail in that area for the rest of their days.
I gather there's a phenomenon in sport called the no stats all star. That's when somebody maybe doesn't score goals, doesn't get assists, doesn't make interceptions or tackles, but the team wins more often when he or she is on the pitch.
Again, this is that money ball concept, which, you know, was turned into a movie with Brad Pitt a number of years back, which is these people who are the big data specialists in sport, which look at all the variables that go into the formula that goes into a winning or a losing team, and they'll try and identify an outlier, per se, to say, isn't it unusual that every time we've won or lost, this person has been on the field? So regardless of whether they're the right person, they have
Kieran
to be there.
Kieran Donaghy taking the pitch. Maybe
well,
in the second half.
He has a lot more going for him than just being a body on the pitch. But again, I think in that regard, that's what happens. We begin to stereotype people without really enough.
Yeah, I mentioned the England soccer team. Now, tell me what Gareth Southgate did last year. They used psychometric tests to prepare, of all things, for penalty shootouts.
Yeah, well, I suppose their history in penalty shootouts and World Cups would be something that they wouldn't have been too proud of. And in fairness to Gareth Southgate, he was looking outside the box in one sense to try and identify an edge to if he could find it. They looked at psychometric testing to identify people who would be potential leaders and people who would be good under pressure. Mm. And apparently, based on the results of that, it helped them with their choosing of who to take the penalties. Now, I'd be very surprised if they, and I'd hope they didn't just go on the results of those tests, because they're so false. Yeah. There's so many false bottoms and false positives and so on and so forth in the...
So the point is, Louise, that they're really a way of just assisting the selection process.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, you cannot just use them and them alone in a decision-making process as to whether or not somebody is going to be successful, whether that be in the corporate world or the sporting world. I think it can be used along with a suite of other methods. So, you know, in the corporate world, that's interviewing, that's potentially role plays, it's presentations, it's assessment centres, it's meeting your colleagues and seeing whether or not you actually get on and if there's a chemistry there where you can all work together.
I think the key to what Louise is saying there is context.
Yeah.
There's no context with these type of texts.
Yeah, I mean, and can they tell you, like, you know, in advance who, like, can they put a red flag about a particular candidate, I'm wondering, or a potential team player about somebody who will not perform well in a crisis?
Hopefully not, because if it was that simple, I think we're in trouble, because I think it then will remove the human element of who we are.
Yeah.
I think that's the concern.
I presume you do some headhunting, Louise, as part of your work. Now, would it be the case that you might get a client who says, look, I've got this group of people, but I need to shake them up, and I want you to find somebody for me who will help to do this. So I don't want a team player. I want somebody who's going to just upset the apple tart in there. I mean, do you get that kind of approach?
Probably not as extreme as that, but we would get clients who would say, you know, we need people who've got strong decision making ability, or we need a leader within this environment. But we would not just use a psych test to determine who that person was. I mean, again, there's in depth interviewing, there's referencing, there's case studies, there's scenarios. So you'd use the whole tool.
But is it a bit like, you know, sort of the use of drugs in sport? That okay, the testers are out there, and then there's this kind of leapfrogging going on between the athletes who cheat, and then the people who try to catch them out. In other words, the way these psychometric tests are framed, that the people who place the tests or who conduct the tests are trying to stay one ahead,
of course,
or a step ahead.
And a lot of
the
questions are leading. They are leading, and a little like what you just said there about, is there someone we want to identify to upset the apple cart? That sounds, you know, if we were to take that narrative, we would suggest that maybe RTE, when they look at their Sunday game panel, that they've chosen someone to go in there and be a particular personality, maybe. Did they engage with a type of test?
They mightn't have needed to do any tests at all.
We all might have someone in our minds when we think of that.
Only one.
Only one, maybe.
I can think of three already.
But again, I think that's a fair point around that one step ahead. These tests are designed to help people make decisions. But when we go back to the originality of this test around personality types, Carl Jung in the 1940s, who came up with the concept of personality types, himself shortly thereafter said, we should be very careful how we engage with this type of work. Yet now these are tests, you know, just 80 years later.
And I think it means within individuals, they might have a preference for acting a certain way, but that doesn't preclude them from doing exactly the opposite.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's also, I think, another example in sport. A Danish soccer club, FC Midtjylland, that's taken a moneyball approach to their team. You referred to that earlier in recent years. It includes personality assessments. Their player, Tim Sparv, talks about how his blue personality fits in with the rest of the squad. But what's he on about, a blue personality?
So again, like this, when we're trying to identify people, the stereotyping goes off the scale. We want to box people in. And there's a number of different types of colour-type personalities. personalities. Mm. A blue personality is a person with a tendency of someone who'll ask questions, who'll be curious, gifted for seeing potential, and that's where it gets very dangerous, because you'll see a red personality then will be someone who takes charge, a determined person, a natural leader. And when you start hearing terms like gifted and natural, then we're in a dangerous space to suggest that someone was born with these tendencies, which of course is nonsense. Our environment has a major impact on how we develop. So your environment now, today, if it differs over the next number of years, means that, well, you could develop in the next number of years as well, which these tests tend to say, if this is the way you are now, this is the way you're going to be.
Right, and there may be scope for mentoring or something like that to make up for deficiencies or to limit people's maybe more extreme tendencies of not listening to others or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
If they're so widespread now, I mean, do people need to know about them, Louise, and know how to do them?
Well, look, yeah, I mean, you can prepare for psych tests.
Again, one of our listeners wants to know, can you learn to do the tests or to manipulate them?
Look, you can certainly prepare for them. There's a million online tests that you can do. I do think it is worth your while if you are going through a job interview where you are going to be psych tested. You should go online. You should prepare yourself. You should have an idea already of what your strengths and weaknesses are. If you do have glaring weaknesses that are in kind of direct contravention with the job profile, I think it's something that, yes, you can work the test. You can certainly try and, you know, skew the test and answer a result slightly differently to maybe what comes naturally to you.
Another text coming our way, Dahi says, I worked in HR for many years and Louise is spot on that psychometrics are only part of a suite of tools. Yes. Unfortunately, though, he says, some organisations and some in the public service use them as a pass or fail screening. Ed?
Yeah, absolutely. You can see that happening. You can see that trend coming. Again, when you talk about that big data perspective, when people don't have the time maybe they would have had previously in HR positions to be able to screen people, it now goes into large space where we're trying to see, get all the information crunched down as quickly as can to help us make a decision as soon as possible.
There's a piece in an article written just about a year and a half ago in the Financial Times by Palita Clark, headlined "The Spread of Psychometric Evaluation Tests Corporate Common Sense," and she talks about how every time she thinks about these things, she thinks of two individuals, Paul Flowers and Sir Ernest Shackleton. Flowers, the disgraced ex-chairman of the UK's Cooperative Bank, was hired despite an uninspiring banking career after scoring well in psychometric tests. Unhappily, the former church minister turned out to have a fondness for illegal drugs and will forever be known as the Crystal Methodist, whereas Shackleton picked his crew for his voyage to Antarctica more than a century ago, comparing today's corporate world to that era is fraught. If he liked the look of a man, he was accepted. If he didn't, the matter was closed. And usually the interview lasted just about 5 minutes, and all made it back alive after drifting on ice floes in the most savage conditions when their ship was trapped and crushed by pack ice. Wow. So good instinct, I suppose, still counts for something.
And that's a key part. And again, I would say in the business that Louise is in, so much is about that instinct, that intuition. Do we get a sense from someone that they have that they can grow within our organisation, or are we hiring somebody who is going to be stuck in their ways?
Will they go out of fashion, Louise?
No, I don't think that they will. I think that they will change. I think within, I suppose, the growth of big data and artificial intelligence means that they are changing somewhat. So AI and gamification is becoming very big, and big companies like Deloitte are currently using gamification. So online apps. So instead of filling out a test, you're being handed an iPad and asked to play a video game, which in essence will test a variety of different attributes. I also think that, you know, for the millennial generation who are entering the workplace, health and well-being is becoming so increasingly important that the data that firms are getting from these type of tests are now being used not only to recruit people and to develop them along the way, but also to support their mental health and well-being. And I think that that's a really positive thing.
And I think the growth is seen already coming. We've gone from an IQ test into an EQ test, which is measuring your emotional quotient. Now the latest is an adaptability quotient. Mm. How adaptable is this person? And they're tested to define that.
Well, look, my thanks to you both for coming in. Louise Campbell, Managing Director of Robert Walters Recruitment, and Dr. Ed Colin, Sports Science Lecturer in Cork Institute of Technology. It's just after 11. We go now to the newsroom again and to Brian Jennings.